Josh, I'm going to have you come up here on stage, and we're going to take a few minutes here to interview you, to kind of get to know who you are before we go into the concert time. So go ahead and have a seat over there. And I told Josh, because I don't know a ton about him yet, and you guys probably don't know a ton yet either, and I asked him if he would feel comfortable if I could throw in some random questions to kind of expose just like his personality as he reacts to questions that he's not prepared for. So we'll see how that goes tonight here, Josh. So we'll see what happens. So I got this coffee cup here, and I was sitting in my office on Thursday, and I wrote down different types of questions that I would like to ask you. So after every serious question I ask you, I'm going to pull from this coffee cup a joke question and see how you respond to it. Are you guys okay with that? All right. So here we go. First of all, your name is Josh Yui, right?
Correct.
That's correct. Okay. And Josh, where are you from? Tell us a little about your family here.
I'm from Grant, Michigan, which is close to Grand Rapids, about 45 minutes north, if you want to look on the hand map.
That's right. Everybody's familiar with the Michigan hand map, right? Yeah. So you're there.
Yeah. So most of my family lives in Michigan still, and
okay,
it's kind of the home base.
So Grant, Michigan, and tell us about your family, like, you know, brothers and sisters, mom and dad, what do they do?
Well, I have four brothers and four sisters.
Okay.
I'm the second youngest, so I have one little sister. And my father's a tool and die maker. He's also the pastor of a small church. That's my home church, obviously. And my mother passed away in the spring, but she was an RN, registered nurse, and for most of her life. Yeah.
Okay, very good. So here we go. That was the first question, so I'm going to pull from here. We'll see what we come up with. The category is animal.
Okay,
animal. My question to you is, if you could be any animal in the world, what animal would you be and why?
I would probably be a deep ocean-dwelling creature, so I can find out what is actually down there.
That's a good answer. That's very good. Because we don't know. There's one thing, like those fish that have the lights on top of their head. Have you seen those? Anybody ever seen those? You could be one of those things. Are they in Finding Nemo? Everything we know about the ocean is based off of Pixar, right? Or Disney, one of those. I can't remember. So you'd be some creature of the deep.
Correct.
Very good. Excellent. All right. I want to ask you a serious question. When did you come? You grew up in a small town, right, in Grant, Michigan, and your dad was the pastor of the church that you attended. When did you come to know the Lord? How did that happen? Tell me a little bit about your story of faith.
Well, I grew up hearing good, solid teaching, and I understood the gospel at a young age. I remember distinctly understanding all of the, I guess, theological points of it.
Okay.
And the significance of it. And I remember around the age of 5 or 6 saying a prayer.
Yeah.
That I, you know, putting my faith in Christ. I'm not sure if I really understood what I was doing.
Sure.
But when I was 11 years old, I attended Lake Ann Camp.
Okay.
I don't know if you guys are familiar with it.
Is anybody familiar with Lake Ann Camp? Okay. Oh, we got a couple people out there. Good. So what's Lake Ann Camp? It's just a camp?
It's a summer camp.
Okay.
A Christian summer camp.
Okay.
And it got me to think about what it really is to what Jesus Christ's sacrifice really meant.
Okay.
And what it meant for me personally as a sinner. And it was at that point that I decided to actually commit my life to following Christ rather than simply believing the truth.
Okay.
So that was a more distinct, I think, turn in my life where I actually confessed Jesus as my Lord and Savior.
Okay.
As opposed to just
knowing it, growing up.
Yeah, understanding it.
And you said, so your home church, how big is your home church?
Right now, it's just a few families, very
okay.
small, yeah.
Yeah. So was your dad kind of like doing everything in the church? And he's kind of a dual, he's a pastor and...
He's a busy guy.
He's a busy guy.
My uncle, he took care of most of the music, and for a while, another family, they also helped with music, and we had another family that was the Sikoras, Mr. Sikora. He also preached on times. Okay. So it wasn't all my father.
Yeah.
It was a group effort.
Group effort. Perfect. All right, good. I got another question here for you. Let's see what we got here. I'll reach to the bottom. Category is food. The category... Describe the perfect pizza. What would you have on a perfect pizza? Starting with like the crust, the sauce, toppings, all those things.
I would have cheese.
Well, sauce. I think all pizzas have cheese. Is that, am I right? Maybe not. Most of them. Okay, never mind. Cheese.
Well, good amounts cheese. Of cheese. Not just paper thin.
Okay. Yeah, a lot of cheese.
I would have mushrooms. I like mushrooms.
Yeah, that's a good...
I like pesto chicken type things.
Okay.
Some garlic, maybe on the crust. Maybe garlic underneath.
And, garlic all around.
Parmesan, maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe some sausage. Throw in some bacon.
Wow. This is a big pizza.
And, yeah, I guess.
That's good.
Sounds pretty ideal to me.
What about the difference between, this is a family feud in my family.
Oh, okay.
Do you like Giordano's or Luminati's better?
I'm not sure I've actually had Giordano's.
Oh, wow.
I have had Luminati's, and that was
good. Oh, man. Someone needs to get him a gift card. Forget the love offering. Everybody just slip in Giordano's gift cards. Good. And then my follow-up question is, have you ever been in a food fight? Have you ever been in a food fight?
Not that I can recall.
Not that you can recall. Okay, well, good. That's all.
It almost escalated to that, but I don't think it's ever gotten
that's good.
Full on food.
If you ever do, you need to make one of those pizzas you just described and throw that with all the toppings. So we learned about your family when you came to know the Lord. Obviously, we're here tonight because you play piano. So when did the interest in the piano, or is there any other musical history that you have? Is there any of the instruments that you play? Talk about kind of your passion for music.
My mother actually made each one of my siblings learn piano and a stringed instrument. And so we all did either violin or cello. I got to choose at the time when I was 3 years old to do either violin or cello, and I decided to do violin.
Okay.
And I regretted that from the beginning.
Oh, yeah.
I hated playing violin. But I actually, when the sister directly older than me, when she started piano lessons, I thought, oh, I'd like to do that. So I actually asked if I could start lessons, but I was probably 6 at the time, and she said, oh, just wait another year.
Yeah.
So she actually did let me start earlier than normal, and I didn't really get a taste for enjoying the music until I was about 13 when I started learning music that I like to listen to, and then realizing, oh, this is actually a fun thing to do, and discovering other music.
So what kind of fun music do you like to listen to? Like, what would you choose to listen to?
Depends on the day. Uh-huh. I grew up on oldies, rock, folk music.
So would you sit down at the piano and just try to pick up what they do, or would you?
At first, that's what I did.
Yeah.
And then I started listening to more classical music and finding out that there's some really good stuff out there.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah.
Very good. Excellent. Okay. I'm going to ask you another question here. The category is circus. All right. If you were in the circus, what act would you be? Like, what part of the circus would you like to be, and then why?
I'd probably be the man who stands with his arms open while the person throws the knives, because then I don't really have to do anything.
Oh, my goodness. That's like the last thing I would choose.
Well, no, at least if he's in a circus and he's doing it, he's got to be good.
Well, you'd hope so, right? But, like, risk versus reward is like death, right? It's like, yeah, well, that's impressive.
I'd rather be the one who experiences the accident than the one who causes it. I be able to handle that.
Well, it tells us a little bit about his personality, right? That's a good one. So, good. Have you ever been to the circus?
I have not.
Well, Ringling Brothers is coming in November, so maybe someone give him a gift card to the circus, all right? that's right. It's going to be a fun day for you. All right. What led you to Moody Bible Institute, and then what are you studying there?
Okay, that's kind of a long question to answer. I'll try to keep it somewhat brief. I'd considered going to a Christian college when I was junior, senior in high school. And we looked around at colleges near us, like Cornerstone in Grand Rapids. Calvin College was there. And there are some others. I don't remember all that we visited. But it didn't seem like there was a good music program, and it definitely did not seem like there was a reasonable budget for us. Mm-hmm. And my older siblings had gone to, almost all of them had gone to Grand Valley State University, which is right in Grand Rapids. And they did have a good music program. And with scholarships, it was a reasonable place to go. It's a state school, liberal arts. So I actually, I went there for a year. And that year, it was really great to learn all the things that I was learning there. Just learned a lot about music. But I guess I started really evaluating what I was doing with my life and what I was going to be doing with music. And I had come to the conclusion that I was doing music because that's something that I liked to do. And if I'm going to do something for the rest of my life, I'd rather do something that I enjoy. But I felt a kind of a meaninglessness in my pursuit of it because I was doing it only for my selfish interest. I mean, I wanted to teach and, you know, to be able to invest in other people's lives. But when I really started, I mean, I started reading my Bible a lot more that year and evaluating my walk with Christ and how I was probably not living for him. And that really bothered me that my relationship with him was suffering like that. And I sat down a few times and just tried to think of what I'm going to do with my life. And I realized that, I mean, after going through all the things, I like making people happy. I like sharing love with people. And I determined that the only meaningful thing to do is to share love, and specifically the love of God, and that the only meaningful way to do that was through the gospel. And to do anything else seemed like a neglect of that.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, Ecclesiastes, everything else is meaningless. I mean, nothing else matters other than a relationship with God. So I was feeling really convicted at the time. I decided I would apply to Moody. I didn't expect to get accepted at all. But I said to God that if I am accepted, I will go. I mean, studying at Grand Valley looked promising. I was learning a lot, but I don't want to waste my life doing something meaningless. So I applied to Moody and got waitlisted until June before the school year started, and which was several months past the deadline to audition for the music program. I had actually heard about Moody. I didn't even know it existed except a missionary that we support, his son, decided to go here. And then I discovered the music program and a reasonable budget.
Yeah.
And so that all tied into my applying here. And I was accepted in June, so I frantically tried to throw together an audition, did a terrible job of it, but they kind of let things slide because it was so late. And I've been here, and I've been studying Bible and music at Moody, hoping to find a way to invest in other people's lives and share the gospel.
Yeah, and I'm sure that the Lord will open up that door. You know, it seems like you're wanting to know Him. When I hear you say that everything else is meaningless, and you want to share that love of God with other people, and you have such a gift and talent and ability with piano that you've been perfecting over these years and working at, and so I'm sure that God will lead you in ways that are somewhat unforeseen, and sometimes He just opens those doors. And so I want to pray for you now, and then we will go ahead and move right into the concert time, and you can lead us through that. And then once again, for those of you that came in late, we will be receiving a love offering for Josh. That money will go just directly to him as a gift, as a blessing to him. And then we'll conclude with one of Josh's favorite hymns that he selected for us here tonight. Why did you pick Ferris Lord Jesus? What was in your mind when you thought about that one?
Well, there are a few things. I did not like singing before coming to Moody. I was like, I play piano. It's yeah. safe and quiet. Nobody can hear my voice when I'm back here.
You want to be down deep in the sea and just existing where no one else can see you.
That's right.
Eating pizza.
Go watching circuses.
Yeah.
But after spending time in men's choir where we have to sing and we get to sing the gospel and sing about God, I mean, that to me is something worth singing about, you know? I mean, no matter how out of tune I sing. So, Ferris Lord Jesus is about Jesus. And I get to sing about him, and I get to do it. That's what I do, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
So, I really like that song as well. It's,
yeah.
I mean, all the beauty in the earth, but Jesus is more beautiful.
Is better, yeah. And then the last song that we're going to sing tonight is The Church's One Foundation. So, what was kind of, why did you select that one?
I discovered that hymn actually as a piece that we sang in men's choir. And I really liked it because it talked about the church in a corporate way, but as the foundation being on Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you remember, oh, we haven't sung it yet.
Yeah.
But in the third verse or fourth verse, depending on whatever hymnal you're reading, mid toil and tribulation and tumult of her war.
Yeah.
I'm going to mix up the verses now. She waits the consummation forevermore.
Yeah, yeah.
And just that hope that we look toward.
Yeah.
Knowing, I mean, I'm big on Ecclesiastes. Everything else is meaningless.
Yeah.
But our hope that we have in Christ and looking forward to that through all the trials of life.
Yeah.
That to me is something particularly meaningful.
That's great. Okay, well, let me go ahead and pray, and then Josh will lead us in a musical time of his concert. So let's go ahead and pray. Lord, we do thank you for the chance to get to know Josh a little bit more. Thank you for blessing him with his abilities, and thank you for blessing us with bringing his talents and abilities and ministry, really, to our church. And we look forward to seeing how you will use him in the future. Thank you for how he's already contributed through worship teams and through our adult worship choir and accompanying our choir on Wednesday nights and Sunday mornings. And we pray for the future days ahead as he studies and as he prepares. And I pray that as you you have been invested in him so much, meaning you have given Jesus Christ for him, and now the righteousness of Christ is his, I pray that he would be able to move on in life and contributing to the spreading of the gospel message and the love of Christ through the gift of music and through his personality and through his testimony. And I pray that the passion that he has now as a young man would just continue to flourish and grow as he reads his Bible more and more and as he prepares at Moody Bible Institute. And I pray that he would be used by you in a mighty way to proclaim your gospel message. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's go ahead and welcome Josh to the piano.
Well, let's just hold on. First off, I'd like to thank you all for coming out and listening. I appreciate your willingness to sacrifice your time and come and listen. And also thank you, Pastor Sean, for all the work you put into making this work out. I appreciate your efforts. So thank you very much. The first piece that I'm going to play for you is one movement of a Mozart sonata in B-flat major. If you notice on the program, it says K570. The K stands for it's the initial of the man who compiled and edited a bunch of works by Mozart. So it's Kirchhoff 570. 570 is the number of the work. So Mozart wrote a lot. Just to give you an idea of the sonata form, it's in three basic sections. The first section it's called the exposition, in which Mozart states basically all the material that he's going to use in the piece. And then the second section is called the development, where he basically plays with the material he's already stated. Sometimes he'll add new material, but it's kind of just doing different things and playing around with it. And then the third section is the recapitulation, which is just kind of a summary of what happened. So as you're listening to it, I hope you can appreciate the beauty of form that he put into it. Stand up, I'd bow for you. The second piece is a theme in variations by Robert Schumann, a romantic composer. And the idea behind this is that it's similar to the sonata, it states all the material that's going to be used in the beginning. That's the theme. And what's interesting about this is that he derived the theme from the name of a famous person who people aren't sure who it is. Her name was Abegg, which is spelled A-B-E-G-G. And when Schumann wrote this, he made the theme spell A, B flat, E, G, G. So that's the theme. And this is followed by four variations. And they're all pretty separated. And each variation takes the theme, and it does something distinctively different with it. So go ahead and listen for that, and I hope you enjoy it. Thank you. Thank you. The next piece is a piece by an American composer. It's called An Étude de Concert, which is a concert étude. And it was probably written during or after his tour in Spain. And I think you'll probably identify that from the rhythms and the harmonies in the piece. It's kind of a fast, fun one to play, so I hope you enjoy it. The next piece is a piece by the impressionistic composer Debussy. It is a suite which is a collection of dances. In the 1700s, royal people and people at courts, royal bloodlines, they would actually dance to particular types of dances that would be found in a suite. But the suite kind of evolved after that to become just the style of music that's played. So this composer wrote it. It's probably not meant to be danced to, but it's in the same kind of style as some of the Baroque dances. So I'm only going to be playing two movements of it. The first is a prelude, and that's just to set the mood for everybody. And the second is a saraband, which is a slow dance. If it was in the Baroque period, they would actually have special things to do on beat two, which would be special dance moves to do on beat two, which is why musically it's characterized by really slow but emphasized on beat two. So I hope you enjoy it.
Thank you.
and he's going to lead us in one of the arrangements of arrangement that he likes, the old rugged cross, and then we'll sing together. So if you've been blessed by him tonight, then go ahead and give an offering, a gift to him, and I'm just going to start passing this out, and then we will sing together.